You please join me in a spirit of prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As you know, we are getting close to Pentecost, and the church will be born. And in the weeks leading up to it, we have been reading lessons from Acts, and we're hearing about the early church and some of the things that transpired. And today we have a great lesson from Acts, which I'm going to focus on, but I also want you to remember something from John, where Jesus promises the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who is going to come and be amongst the people. Now, the story in Acts is kind of interesting. It's also a little bit strange because Paul has a vision, and he talks about how he had seen this man from Macedonia who implored him to come to Macedonia and to help him. Now, Paul wanted to go to Asia, not to Europe. And I know when we speak of Asia, people think of this huge landmass that stretches from Turkey all the way to Russia. That is not what was meant by Asia back when the Bible was written. Asia was just that part of the world known as Turkey now. But still, that was Paul's home. Tarsus was in Asia, and he wanted to go do his ministry there. And it was there that he wanted to share the word of God, thinking perhaps it would be nice to be amongst people who were like him, people who understood his idioms, people who could get his references. He would have known the landscape, and that's what he wanted to do. But then he had this vision, and we don't know who this man from Macedonia was. There's been speculation that it might have been Luke, who's assumed to be one of the authors of the gospel and is also the author of Acts. And Luke was a physician, and of course he would have been very appropriate to be with Paul, who had the thorn in his side and other health ailments. But we don't know who this person from Macedonia was. We do know that his plea to Paul was compelling. And so Paul went over to Macedonia, and then we know he went down further in Greece. But to get a full appreciation for the story, I need to unload some historical trivia on you about the way Romans did things. So we read here about people who had gathered by the river to worship, and Jews back then didn't always have synagogues in their communities, and sometimes they would gather by the river to worship. So you don't need a building to pray. But Paul often wanted to share the word of God with his fellow Jews, and he wanted them to come over and follow Jesus. So when he came to a new city, he would go and find the Jewish community and where they were worshiping, and then he would start talking with people and start spreading the word. Now, this place in Greece was a Roman colony, and I know that in the current discourse, colonies have a certain reputation. The Roman colonies were different, but in some ways they weren't. So if you served in the Roman army, you didn't get a pension and you didn't get a retirement plan, but you got a promise from the Roman state that if you put in your 20 years and you made it through your tenure, you would get an allotment of land. And the Romans recognized that settling all these people in Italy near Rome wasn't really possible, first of all, because the land was claimed by Romans, and second, would you want a bunch of former soldiers settled near you? Think about what had happened in Rome just a few decades earlier when Caesar had crossed the Rubicon and brought troops into Rome. The Romans didn't want a repeat of that, so it was better to settle the troops somewhere else. And when they did that, these communities often became boom towns, and people were drawn to them and business started, and Philippi was a town like that, and this place where Paul was preaching was a place like that too. And one of the people who had a good business running for her was Lydia. Now, We often don't think of women as being titans of industry back in the first century, but some of them did well. And we should note that the early church lifted up women and their contributions. And Lydia was an important person. She was the first Christian in Europe, the very first one. And she was moved to hear Paul's words. And we might want to say, well, that's because Paul was a great preacher, or he had a lot of charisma. But no, we see that something else happened here. And the Spirit moved her, and she received the word. Now, she'd already been predisposed to worship the God of Israel. We don't know if she was Jewish, but she did come to worship with that community, and she was open to the message. And we then hear that after she received that word, she wanted to be baptized. And it wasn't just Lydia, it was her household. And you'll remember that back in the first century, the head of household could make these decisions about faith for the entire household. So a bunch of people were brought into that early church. And then something really interesting happened. And that was when she said to Paul, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay in my home." And she prevailed upon us. So here was Paul, a stranger in this city, and we have no idea as to where he was going to stay before he had this conversation with Lydia. He may have wanted to stay at the first century version of a Motel 6. He may have had another friend in town, but he received this invitation from Lydia, and he went to stay with her. And in doing so, he not only showed graciousness, but he allowed Lydia to show us what the church was all about. You'll remember, as I've said this before, that the first century church didn't do things the way most other people did. They took care of people. They didn't just leave people out in the street to fend for themselves. And if you want to know why the early church spread so quickly and drew in so many people, it wasn't just because of the teachings in Scripture. It was because of what the people who heard those teachings did for one another. People helped one another. Now, I know that may not seem like a big deal to a lot of us, but it makes a huge difference. And I called out a couple of people before the sermon for some services they've rendered to us. I'm going to do it again. So, Barb, thank you for stepping up to be the liturgist today. Our scheduled liturgist could not be here, and Barb did not know this until I told you at the beginning of worship, because I had just received the message before the service. But thank you, she stepped in. And again, I'm going to mention John, because he has put in so much work for our church recently. He's been doing it for a lot longer than just recently. But I really appreciate the back steps, which we often don't come in now. But the steps were in sorry shape, and John took it upon himself to get the materials and to rebuild them. And they look great, and they're solid, and thank you for that work for the church. I want to thank Linda and Ike. They've been here for so many years, and they've done so much for us. And I want, you know, the trees out front are a beautiful addition to our church property. And I believe they planted them with their kids all those years ago, and we continue to benefit from the beauty. And I want to thank the choir. You sang one of my favorite church anthems this morning, and you did a beautiful job of it. And I, again, I want to echo that comment that whether there are 4 or 40 of you, you always sound great. So thank you for sharing that gift with us. And the list could go on and on. Jeff, thank you for ringing the bell in the morning. You do that week in and week out, and we appreciate that ministry. Corinne, thank you for all the work you've done here and for the meals you've prepared for our visitors, and are going to be getting things ready for the bike and builders who are coming to church here. And Linda, I want to thank you for your service now chairing the diaconate and providing that leadership. All of this adds up. And if you wonder why people are coming to the church, it's not because I'm preaching some abstruse doctrine of the Trinity, or we've got some exotic rituals for people to participate in. It's because the church is a place where people should be caring about one another. Now, I know we have our tiffs, and I know sometimes people can get a bit surly, and that happens in any family. But think about it. Think about the world the way it is today. I'm going to mention one other action of helping, and I want to thank Ernie and his colleagues in Cameo Baroque. They put on a wonderful concert last night. It was beautiful, and they raised more than $800, which is going to go to Doctors Without Borders. And that's for some work they're doing in Ukraine, and they're helping out all around the world. Those are people helping out other people. And this shouldn't be big news to anybody. But in this world, at least in our society, we have at some points in time been told that we should be looking out for number one. Well, frankly, if all we do is look out for one another, the world's going to be a pretty sad place. And frankly, it's not a world I want to be in. Now, I can't confess to being the world's best helper. I try to help out as I can. But I have looked out for number one. And I suspect some of you have at times too. But it's this call from Scripture that reminds us what it is that God wants us to do. God wants us to take care of one another. And that means extending ourselves. And doing so when it's convenient and when it's inconvenient. We need to be there for one another. We need to be there on the cold days and on the hot days. We need to be there for one another throughout the year. So I want you to think about Lydia, who had her lovely business, and she was pretty, we presume she was well-to-do because a purveyor of purple cloth was dealing in a precious commodity. And this woman had opened her heart to God. This woman knows she needed something more. And I pray that each person here will recognize their need for God and what God has to offer. And you can think about the early church and then how it spread and it grew. And the church today is in that kind of situation where we need to spread and share the word of God, not by beating people over the head, not by wagging our fingers and telling people you've got to do it our way or take the highway, but showing people what the love of God means. To help one another, to welcome one another, to be there for one another. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of Scripture and for the witness of the saints in years gone by. And we ask that you will inspire us to be like them, to give of ourselves for your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.